don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is August 24th, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight with Mr. Seth Taylor from Denver, Colorado. And he's going to tell us a little bit about his encounter growing up as a teenager and dealing with drugs and various things like that. So before we bring him on, let me welcome my co-host Boyd to the show. Boyd?
Yeah, I'd just like to say I appreciate everybody tuning into the show tonight. And good night for me tonight. You know, I have my teeth pulled today, so my wife will be definitely taking over the show tonight for both of us, so I apologize for that, but I just thank God for the show and thank God for everybody who tunes into the show every week, and everybody's down with the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, so I just want to thank God for that, you know, and I'll turn the mic over to Seth, and he can formally introduce himself as well.
All right, Seth, go ahead. We'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Seth Taylor. I'm from Denver, Colorado. Playing the Seth Taylor Band. Into positive movement and positive people and good Lord.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Seth. We're going to hear a little bit tonight about Seth's life growing up and the things that he went through. Seth, if you could go ahead and start when you were young, and tell us a little bit about how you grew up, you know, what your family situation was like, whether good or bad, just kind of what you went through as a young child.
I grew up in a middle-class family. I had a great father and mother, still do. They got divorced when I was very young. I had everything they basically provided very well for me up until I got into high school. Then I started just kind of mixing around with the, pot and alcohol, I guess you could say. And one thing kind of led to another. Then I started doing the harder stuff, crystal, acid, all sorts of different stuff. Crystal was probably the one that I got hooked on the easiest. And basically, I've been fighting it on and off, 35 years old now, since I was 16 years old. I moved away a couple times, lived in many different cities, but for some reason, it always seemed to find me. I used to like to party, and, just recently, I just made a choice to make better decisions in my life, and they just really don't have any future with drugs, alcohol, people that, it's a very dark world, I guess you could say drugs are, and they can suck you in and make you feel good and like you're on cloud nine, and then they can turn around and slap you right back in the face. So I was tired of getting slapped in the face and hit over the head. I call it 2x4 therapy because it's how many times you got hit by a 2x4 until you realize, what you're doing wrong. My family was always around trying to support me and tell me, we really want you to get off the drugs. I think it was, there was really nothing they could say for me to do it. It was more just a self-choice of doing it. So, God is a big, huge factor in why I'm alive still today, I believe. I never was a very bad person. I did sell drugs on and off in my 20s, and I got mixed up in some really heavy, heavy people, some mafia people, and, I was just blessed enough not to ever get in trouble, and I really just skated through by the seat of my pants, you know. But I've lost a lot of good things and a lot of good people in my life throughout my drug use, on and off. But now I've got good people in my life, and I'm just trying to move forward from this point on. I just refuse to go back, I say, letting in the demons or letting in the dark, because that's pretty much all it is.
Right.
They're a big lie. All it is is a big lie.
Definitely. So, now, how old were you when you first, your very, very first drug encounter, how old were you?
I was probably about 12, 13 maybe.
And do you remember what made you do it? Was it a friend, or did you just want to experiment, or?
Yeah, well, all my friends were doing it, you know. It was,
right.
It was probably even younger than that with the alcohol, but,
right.
You know, it was, you know, everybody was doing it, you know, basically when I was, you know, 13, 14, it was just pot and alcohol, so I didn't see any
right.
harm in it.
Right.
But as days went by and, you know, hanging out down in Southern California, because that's where I grew up mostly when I was younger, things just progressed rapidly, you know, and it was one thing after another, and then it was acid and, you know, mushrooms, and then next thing you know, that's when Crystal was introduced to me, and that was the one that was just gave me the false sense of security and made me believe that I could do anything I wanted and I was invincible. And I don't know, right around 16 years old, I had enough, and I said, you know, I need to get out of this. And that's, you know, my dad picked me up and moved me out to my mother's out in Colorado out here, and I quit for 4 years and I never touched it. But then, you know, as every other addict, they think they can go back to doing it and controlling it.
Right.
And that's when I fell again. And, you know, that was another 4 or 5 years that I did that and moved away to Minneapolis with my mom. She once again tried to help me get off of it, moved me out there. I stayed off of it for about 2 years. And once again, my brain said, oh, well, you know, you can get away with doing it. It's, you know, you can do it just once. And then one time turns into, you know, 2 weeks and then years. And then I moved back to Colorado and was doing good for a little while, staying with my mom again. We both moved back here. And, you know, I was just finally, I moved in with a girlfriend's dad that used to do a lot of drugs. And he would just always tell me, you know, hey, you know, you can't be doing this crap, you know. And he really never really got on me. He just told me that, you know, I'm here and here's a good place, but you can't be doing drugs if you're here. And he's got two great sons that, you know, would always sit there and support me and say, you know, we've been through this too, you know, you just need to get off of it. And then I got baptized, and that night I did drugs. And it was just, I felt like I was just disgracing God, I guess you could say. So that was the last time I ever did it. And I haven't done it since. And I really, truly believe that was, you know.
What advice could you tell the kids out there? Because, you know, they're always told that pot and alcohol are the gateway drug to the heavier things. And a lot of people don't believe that. You know, they say, nah, you know, I can do it. It doesn't bother me. It's not going to affect me. And obviously, you know, as you've experienced it, it really does. So what advice could you give the teenagers out there that are 12 and 13 that are using pot and drinking alcohol?
I would say, you know, they're going to be influenced, and the kids are going to have it thrown in their face. You know, it's not going to make you any cooler to say no. You know, it's not going to make you look bad to say no. It's really hard being a kid doing it, so I understand where they're coming from. I would definitely steer clear from it if you want to, you know. I mean, I personally can't say alcohol or pot is a gateway drug, because I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think it was, you know, the drugs were put in front of my face and I made the decision to do it. So my advice would be just to steer clear from it, you know. I mean, I wish I would have. I would have probably had, you know, a record contract years ago.
Right.
You know? But drugs became my focal point and my reality and were the most important thing to me. over my family and everything, unfortunately, and you lose all that when you start doing those things, you know, and you're in with the cool crowd. But eventually, it will creep up on you and kick you in the butt before you know it. So I guess my best advice would be, you know, steer clear from it. Yeah, I mean, but it's,
right,
like I said, it's harder to do than say, you know what I mean?
Right. And that crowd that once looked so cool doesn't have a whole lot after a while anymore, and they've lost out on a lot of different things, and
sure,
little by little, everything starts just dwindling away.
Yeah, it does. It does, you know. And, you know, a lot of people have to just actually experience that, unfortunately. I had to go through it myself. You know, like I said, it was God that helped me get through, you know, and my family. And, I mean, if you got a good family, stick by them. You know, if you don't have a good family, go get into a good church, you know.
Right.
You know, and just try to, I think it's a product of your environment. So if I was 12 or 13 years old, and for the longest time I said no, because I was absolutely terrified of my father if he ever found out I was drinking or doing drugs, because he's the most, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, nothing. And my mom's the same.
Right.
So, you know, it was, if you can put yourself in an environment where you don't have those kind of people around you, then
mm-hmm.
you're less tempted to doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, I had to,
you know, and there's
my...
some people, sorry, there's some
no,
people that, that can take a hit of something and then leave it alone. And then there's
sure.
some people that are just prone to, you know, that one hit is just not ever going to be the last one.
Right. And that's kind of the person I was. I have a very addictive personality. So it was just like I had to keep going, you know. And it's a very evil, dark drug. All of them are, for the most part, you know.
Right.
Even the prescription drugs that doctors give out, you know, they're very highly addictive too. Painkillers, everything. So,
right.
Like I said, I mean, it's if you're a product of your environment, I mean, I had to completely remove everybody and anything in my life that was bringing that back into my life. And
right.
that's how I think was a big, huge part of basically, you know, helping me stay clean, you know. And I haven't had one urge, you know, or one temptation or anything in the longest time. I mean, if it was put in front of me today, I would just be like, get that crap away from me, you know. I mean,
right.
you just got to stay away from that kind of environment. Because, you know,
yeah,
people
you
like...
Yeah, you still have to be strong and watch out, because that one temptation
yeah, still, it's still
around
gonna be put
the corner
in front of
if, you're not being, if you're not aware of it, you know.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, if you get that gut feeling, and I'm a former firm believer in gut feelings, if you get that gut feeling that this that kind of a party, you know, just say, you know, hey, I got to go home, or, you know, make up an excuse or whatever you got to do to get put yourself in distance from that, you know.
Right.
Even pray
right.
about it. I mean,
keep
I,
yourself
I
away from those
it.
Situations.
Yeah, or, you know, just pray, say, hey, you know, God, please help me, you know, be a stronger person and get this away from me. Because, you know, I know even being 35 years old, it'll probably be put in front of me again, and I'll probably be tempted again. I just, you know, it's
definitely.
That life choice. So.
Yeah, definitely. And it's all about choice. It's all about who you hang around with and where you hang out. You know, if you're addicted to drugs, you know, and alcohol, you don't want to hang out in a bar or hang out at parties where everybody's doing it. You know, you need to
Correct.
Stay away from all that and
sure.
keep that temptation away from you. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how
and,
old were you when you started playing music?
I was my dad put a guitar in my hands when I was 3 years old, you know. And I mean, off and on, I've been playing, you know. I mean, when I was in junior high, I mean, we opened up for 5 bands when I was in junior high school, you know.
Right.
And and I pretty much could play anything you put in front of me. So I love music. It's my outlet. I still do it. I still, you know, play every weekend. And,
right.
you know, my songs before I was on drugs were very dark and very sad. And now the music that comes out of me is more uplifting. The lyrics are very positive, and they're very encouraging. And it's just 180 degrees, you know, from right. the way it was when I was doing drugs. And I mean, it'll come, it comes out of you, and people can see it when you're doing them, you know, and people get scared of you, you know. I mean, there's
right.
so many bad things that people do to obtain drugs. I fortunately was never one to steal, because my dad brought me up right, and I was never one to, you know, rip people off and do the bad things that some people do.
You're one
through.
Of the fortunate ones, then, because there's so many people, especially, you know, the ones that get hooked on the crystal meth and the crack and stuff, that would
that
steal from, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, anybody to get what they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a firm believer in what you put out comes back to you. So, you know, I think that was a big part of it, and I refuse to be one of those kind of drug addicts. I mean, they're all kinds, I guess you could say, but, you know, it doesn't make them any worse or any better. It's just they're a little, you know, you can end up with felony charges and, you know, law problems. I just, you know, I was just brought up different. You know, that's why I said, you know, middle-class family. And I was brought up with great, you know, upbringing, where my dad installed good values in me, you know. And
right.
even when I was strung out, I still had good values. I just was sick, you know.
Right.
And,
you know, a lot of kids do get brought up the right way. You know, parents are teaching their children, you know, right from wrong and that drugs are bad. But, you know, you can do everything right and your kids still make mistakes, and you can do everything wrong, and you know, your kids may turn out great. So, you know, hopefully we're getting taught the right things, but definitely, you know, drugs
well,
do take over so many people. And
well, that's the thing. I was a great kid, and they took over my life, and I was brought up with great upbringing. So it's, you
right,
know, and that's
right.
the dark side of, like, crystal is, if it's, you know, it's 40-year-old moms, you know, it's
uh-huh.
not just, it's not, you know, just 12 and 13 and, you know, 20s, you know, where you're going out and partying, going to clubs and stuff, but
right.
it's, you know, this drug has taken over people's lives at 40 years old, you know, and completely ripping it apart.
Exactly.
And
destroying people.
That's why I'm doing this radio show, is because I want people to know, you know, hey, there is a way to get better. There is hope for you, because a lot of times with the drugs, I mean, there was times I thought, you know, why am I even living? Why was I even put on this planet? You know, what,
right.
why am I here, God? You know, all I see is hate and anger and people that are ugly and dark. And, you know, for some reason, he showed me the light, you know, and my family showed me you are worth living and you are worth, you know, getting out there and doing better things with your life. You just got to get away from it. That's the hardest part, is that those first couple months, you know, of getting
right.
rid of the addiction, getting rid of the temptation, getting rid of the people in your life, the darkness, and the, you know, getting rid of
right.
all of the combined things that make you keep going back to doing drugs. And it could
right.
be for a variety of reasons, you know. Everybody is different.
Right. You know, and doing the right thing, you know, you got to make that a habit, just as we do the wrong things by doing that so often. You know, we have to just change our atmosphere and our habits to positive things and good things.
Sure.
And get away from all that.
Right.
So,
well, my advice for to kids that are 12 and 13 years old, if you're out there and you're getting strung out, or if you're getting wasted and things aren't going the way that you would want them to go, turn around and do it the exact opposite, because that's what I didn't do for so long. And now that I'm doing it, I've got a roof over my head. I mean, I was living in my car. I mean, I've been homeless. I've, you know, been literally, you know, wondering where I was going to eat from day to day. I mean, go do the exact opposite of what you're doing, and you will be surprised how quickly it's turned around for you and how fast people will be open enough to turn around and help you out, you know?
Right.
It's,
you know, and
amazing.
It sounds like you're a very talented person. You know, God gave you a lot of musical gifts, and
sure.
You know, He wants you to use them for His glory. So, you know, congratulations on being clean, and you know, we wish you all success in the world with that.
Yeah, well, I see great things coming. You know, I really do. Like I said, all the music's positive, and I just got to keep the faith. You know, and and right. keep running with it. It's the most important thing.
Definitely.
And trust God's going to take care of it. That's the hugest issue with a lot of people is, you know, what am I going to do? The worry, or how am I going to pay this bill? Or, you know, just give it to God,
right.
and you'll be amazed on
just
what
give
happens.
Give it to God and let it go. You know, we
yep.
give our problems to God, and then we want to take them back and do what we want.
And
we
exactly.
have to learn to give it to Him and leave it in His hands and let Him deal with it the way He wants to.
Sure. And it's
that's
called
the hardest thing.
Trusting.
Right.
It is. It's definitely not easy, you know?
Right.
I mean,
for sure.
I mean, you know, I'm doing everything right, and I mean, I just, you know, worked basically 100 hours, and I've got a lot of money owed to me, and all of a sudden, my boss can't pay me, and that was one of the biggest things. I'm just like, okay, well, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. God, why isn't this working? But then I was like, all right, well, I guess you're going to have to take care of it, and I just trust that you're going to do it, and
right.
you got to let it go sometimes, you know? And that's the hardest thing because, like you said, we try to take
letting
take
go
the
is
problem.
The hardest. Mhm. Because we want to be in charge and we want to
control,
know, be the boss and control and right, and it's hard to give up that control, especially to somebody we can't see. You know, we have to have
yeah.
faith, and it's definitely hard. But you know, with prayer and like you said, being around the right people, being in the right places, doing the right things, you know, all that support is going to help get you through that and get
yep.
you over that hump. Especially on those days when you are feeling a little bit stressed and you are feeling, you know, like, you know, if I could just have one hit, I would
one
feel
more
better.
Hit
or if I could
yeah,
just have
absolutely.
One beer, I'd be relaxed. Or if I could
right.
have, you know.
You know, and then one hit just turns into 3 days or 4 days or, you know, whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And it's a vicious circle. And I couldn't count on my hands how many times I've built up, you know, an apartment, a car, you know, a bunch of new friends, and turned around and absolutely threw it all away in less than
right.
a couple months, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just... You know, if you want to screw up your life, keep doing drugs. Unfortunately, it took me to 35 years. It's not funny, but it took me 35 years to figure that out. But at least I figured it out.
At least you figured it out. Better late than never. That's right.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it leads to death. And that was the thing is towards the end of my drug use, all that was going in through my head was, you're going to die. You're going to die. All you're going to do is die. And that really bothered me because I don't want to die and I've got
right.
so much more to do on this planet. So, you know, that ultimately was like, okay, well, I'm going to show them that I'm not going to die and I'm going to live and I'm going to help people that got sick like me. And I'm going to speak
right.
out, you know, at my shows and, you know, and say certain things and try to bring the Lord to other people, you know.
Right.
And hopefully they hear it, you know. Some people don't, you know. I mean, it was very awkward when I went to church for the very, you know, for the first couple months, you know. It wasn't, you know, you got to find the right church for you. I mean, I think that's really important.
Right.
You know.
Fair to feel comfortable.
Yeah, well, comfortable church. And I think, you know, you're going to feel awkward because, you know, you're doing stuff that your soul's not meant to do, especially with the drugs.
Right.
And your soul's going to tell you, you know, that you're not doing it right. And then, especially in church, you're going to feel uncomfortable. So the sooner you get off
right.
of them, the sooner your soul can get back to rehabilitating it, you know?
Right.
So.
Most definitely. You know, we're going to continue talking about this and a few other things here, but we do have a few callers on the line, and I want to give them the chance to ask you questions if they want. We're going to go to the first caller on the line. The last four digits of the phone number are 3871. If you're there, caller, with the last four digits of 3871, you're on the air. Caller with the phone number of 3871. All right. I guess they're just listening. We'll go to the next one. The last four digits of the phone number are 9495. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I am.
Hello.
A little bit. Yes, I am.
Welcome
Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome you all as well. That is really something. You know, we all would do that, you know, and, you know, it seemed like the government had a lot to do with that, you know, and, you know, buying it at pennies or less, buying drugs at pennies or less, and filter them into...
Can you speak up just a little bit more?
The government itself, you know, put drugs, buying them at pennies or less, put them into the streets, you know, and you know, it's primarily, you know, what's going on, you know, still today, you know, and I like to say that, you know, it's a point where we have to. You know, we got to give back, you know, and we got a march coming out, a march coming out pretty soon. By the way, my name is Barefoot Angelo Barefoot White. And how you doing?
Where's your march going to be at?
Well, in L.A. Going to march from Watts all the way to L.A. To the west side, from the east side to the west side.
Okay.
And so try to get these youth together. You know, the next year, generations to come, we try to get them together. You know, so they won't have to go through what we went through. You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you could post that information for us up on our website, we can get that word out for you.
Okay.
On that, and definitely, you know, we gotta get the message out here to the youth, you know, because the drugs, the gangbanging, the selling of the drugs, the using of the drugs, it's just has destroyed too many people in our country,
yeah.
And we need to get a better grip on that. You know, and that's just, you know, with these drugs taking over, people, you know, like Seth said, you become a different person. You do things that you wouldn't normally do when you're, you know, on the
right.
drugs or under the influence of alcohol. And
yes.
And I think you would probably agree with me, too, that, you know, most of the kids that are out, you know, gangbanging and doing drive-bys and shootings are under the influence when they're doing it. They have that, you know, that liquid courage, I guess. And they go out and do things that they might not normally do.
I also think that...
Do you agree with me?
There's a lot of music and the influence of music and the people, the kind of music that people are listening to, or at least the lyrics, are definitely pushing kids in a different direction to glorify this gangbanging crap, and glorifying to degrade women, glorifying how cool it is to go party all night. I mean, you got it from all the way from pop stars to rap stars to, you know, country music. I mean, it's, you really got to just pick on what you're going to listen to and what kind of choices you're going to make. So,
right, definitely. You know, and like we tell the kids when we go out and talk to them too, you know, a lot of the gangster rappers were not really out there gangbanging. They were in their
studio, you know, writing about it
and maybe writing about things that were happening in their hood, but they weren't the ones out there doing it, and yet they're rapping about it. And nowadays a lot of the rappers that are out there on the videos with the cars and the money and the jewelry, you know, like Rob says, the jewelry came from Jacob the Jeweler, and when they're done, that's going back. And, you know, the money that they're raining and throwing in the air, you know, goes back to the producer or to the bank. It's not theirs. And,
and the
cars go
right
were
back
borrowed.
Yeah.
You know, and so
and
it's so not real. Right. It's not real. It's all phony. It's a mirage. It's fake. But these young kids... You know, everybody wants to be a gangster. Everybody wants to be a rapper because they think it's cool. And that lifestyle is really not cool. And if they had to live that lifestyle, they might realize that it's not all it's, you know, made to look.
Yeah.
drugs and alcohol have been around from the beginning, you know, from,
right.
from the 30s, 40s, and what have you. But I think the crack and the and all that really set a stage, you know, for what we in right now, you know, in,
right.
in the recession we're in right now. It really set a stage. And like I said before, the government buying it, paying the less, and bringing it over here, you know, and bringing it over here and just destroying, you know, and making the rich richer and the poor, you know, no
right.
jobs, no jobs, no nothing, you know. So what we have to do is come together, and this what this march is all about. You know, people that have money, people that are concerned, you know, pitch in, you know, pitch in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The cup, you know, it's all about, it's not about, it's about prevention, getting prevention, you know, not intervention, you know. We got to sit for you. And that's the best thing, you know, and you know, we go way back, you know, as a black man, you know, I know that, you know, coming from Africa as kings and queens and making it to America, you know, as slaves, you know, and a prophet, you know, capital, you know, it's capital, capital controls everything and is still that way. You know, so we have to put together and fight. You know, the people have to come
right.
together. Mm-hmm. Have to come together.
Right. Yeah, we definitely have to break that chain of pain and break that chain of violence and teach our kids and educate our kids and let them realize that, you know, the only thing that's going to get you anywhere in life is to be able to have education and knowledge and get out of the streets and stop the violence and, you know, learn to love your brothers and sisters, no matter what color, black, white, green, yellow, purple. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's not a race thing anymore. It's a people thing. And people need to learn to love each other and forget about what color, you know. I just still can't believe, and it is so true, you know, how racist people still are. And it doesn't matter if you're black or white or Italian or Greek or Chinese or whatever. There are still so many prejudiced people, and everybody thinks that everybody's against that, you know, that race or, you know, and it's just that everybody has their own things going on. Everybody has their own histories. Everybody has different things, but everybody focuses on their own thing instead of looking at the big picture.
Right.
You know, there's not anybody holding anybody down anymore. We're holding ourselves down, you know,
right.
and I'm sorry to the black people, but for when I hear that the white people are holding me down, I'm sorry. Nobody's holding you down anymore. You know, and a lot of people say that, but to me, it's like nobody's holding anybody down anymore. It's up
to
you guys.
The only person holding you down is yourself.
All of us, exactly.
Back
exactly.
in the day, the Quakers were against slavery. You know, they were against slavery. You know, and I tell these people, all white folks not bad. You know, all white folks not bad. The Quakers themselves, they were against slavery. You know,
right.
And so you know, it's capitalism. It's politics. You know, it's not
right.
democracy. It's not democracy. It's politics. You know, and it's green, and that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, and so.
And there's, there's good and bad in everything. You know, there's good and bad white people. There's good and bad, you know, good and bad black people. There's good and bad Italian people. There's good and bad in everything. You know, there's good and bad churches. There's good and bad. I mean, there's good and bad in everything. It's just all a matter of choice and what you want to do, and you know.
My philosophy is love your brother or your sister the way you want to love yourself, you know, and
exactly.
Then you'll tend to get the message across a little better to people that don't understand
right.
it.
you go back to the word, you know, yeah. The golden rule, treat others as you, you know, would have, yeah, as you want to be treated.
Uh-huh.
Definitely. Yeah, we've got to get rid of the hate. Hate and the violence and I don't know if that'll ever go away, but you know, it's definitely there, and it's definitely in every race, you know, that
right.
you can imagine.
And we have to go back. We have to go back, you know, to our forefathers. You know, we have to go back to our forefathers and raise up, you know, and it's a political thing, you know.
Right.
Politics, you know, and we got to kill out the capitalism. You know, that's the main thing. Kill the capitalism, you know, and get back to normal again.
Right.
And the only way we're going to do that is step up. You know, step up, and that's the truth.
Right. And definitely, yeah. I Robin, I get to talking about this all the time. You know, we talk about our country and the corruption that's been in our country for hundreds of years, you know, and whether it be slavery or the prohibition or, you know, the immigrants that came over, you know, and did their thing, a lot of the mafia, the families, you know, they stuck together and they became what they became, you know, the Cosa Nostra. You know, they stuck together. They did what they did, but you know, it's all a part of surviving in this country. And,
yeah.
You know, there's still so much corruption. You know, the CIA, the FBI, everything was started and created for their
for their benefit.
For themselves,
you know,
for their own good, or to
yeah.
create, you know, to get what they wanted. It wasn't necessarily a good thing, but it was done,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we still have corruption in our government and our politics, and it, you know, yeah, if we could get good, honest, hardworking people in there that cared about this country and cared about people, things might change. But until people
right.
decide to stand up and stand firm on what they believe in, things are not going to change.
Right. The
you know, and get this country back where it was founded on, under God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We got
another caller, that 3871.
That's the one I tried already.
Okay, Kelly, how you doing? How you doing, man? Yeah, I ain't talking too much because I got my tooth pulled today. So I'm letting the listeners take the show all the way out.
We're
know?
Not going to let you get off that easy, though.
Yeah, I just want to say, Simp, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man, and really telling your testimony. And I just want to give a big shout out to my man, Phil, for, you know, letting you know about the Streets Don't Love You Back show. So I want to give my boy Phil a big up on that. And just want to give Phil and Brian a big up on what they're doing down there in Texas with the Speaking Against the For God. So just want to give them a shout out and keep up the good work. And the Streets Don't Love You Back tour will be kicking off this Monday, you know. Have our first speaking engagement in Ohio, so that'll be getting kicked off, and be back in AZ after that, kicking off at the high schools there. So, yeah, God is good, and he's just doing his awesome work. So, you know, I'm just blessed to be part of his movement, you know what I mean? Not no street movement, not no homeboy movement. I'm blessed to be in God's movement, you know? So that's what it's all about, man. And, you know, I'm just
all
thankful, man, that I wake up, that I can do his work. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right, bro. That's right.
Yeah. So that's about enough for what I can say tonight. My mouth is very sore. So
I know you got
more. Just want to give everybody a shout-out, you know what I mean? That's doing great things across the country and across the board. And just keep your head up and just stay focused and stay on top of your game out here. And I really listened to y'all when y'all were talking about the job situation and the economy, you know what I mean? What I want to tell people is this right here, and I hope you pay close attention. You can't worry about no economy, because see, the way the world is set up today is that all you people be out there on Facebook and on the internet, back and forth. Some of y'all be on some BS, some of y'all just be kicking it. But all that time you're out there kicking it, you could be asking your fellow man or your fellow sister, how can I start me a PayPal account? You feel me? Because this ain't just no city thing. It ain't even a global thing, you know? Now, if that's the new hustle, if you can't get you a PayPal account and sell you some socks, some T-shirts, some hats, some glasses, that's all over the world, man. That's the new hustle. Hey, if you can stand on the block and hustle, you can hustle that. You know what I mean? Just by sitting at home doing your thing. So, really, me personally, I ain't never worried about no economy. And I'm just going to leave it at that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I pass it back to my
message. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the poor people have the political power. We just got to step forward. You know, and that's the thing. We got to step forward and do our thing. You know, we have the power. So we need to step forward and go back to what our forefathers stand for and do our thing. And stop talking about it. And stop complaining about this and that and this and that. And step forward and get it done.
Right. It's about making changes, making positive changes in your life. And you know, we can't sit here and dwell on the past. The past is what it was. But let's do something to change the future and help our kids and our grandkids and make the world a better place from today on.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in. And we are going to get back to Seth now here for a little bit. And we thank you for calling in. We really appreciate all your words of wisdom. Let us know. Definitely get on the website or email us and let us know about the march and when it is and everything, and we'll promote that for you.
Okay. I surely appreciate that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you much. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. Much love.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Seth, I wanted to go back to something that you mentioned earlier, and that was the prescription drugs. And I know we've talked about this before on here, but, you know, my biggest problem with that is that people think that because it's a prescription drug that it's okay. And there's most of the medicines and drugs out here that, you know, are prescribed or not prescribed are not great for you. Some of them might help you a little bit, but a lot of them have so many side effects, they're not good for you. And I'm a registered nurse, so knowing the effects of everything, you know, you have to be very, very careful. We have taken care of so many teenagers who have almost died because they go to these pill parties, you know, and they, you know, people don't believe me when I tell them that kids have pill parties. And they go and they bring all the pills from mom and dad's cabinet that they can possibly sneak out. And they go to parties, they throw the pills in a bowl like candy, and then they all just take a handful or, you know, a few, and they pop them and they take them. And you know, we've had kids almost die. They've ended up on life support because they've taken drugs or too much of a certain drug with alcohol that they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost dead, you know, and they're on life support. And hopefully, you know, they come out of it. You know, I can't tell you how many kids I've transported that were because of drugs, whether overdose, you know, Tylenol overdose. These kids take Tylenol or aspirin or Benadryl. You know, these things right here can kill your liver in a heartbeat. They can destroy your life. And these kids do not realize the dangerousness of some of these drugs that seem so innocent.
Well, especially if you're mixing a lot of drugs. I had a girlfriend or a friend that was dating a girl, and she mixed a bunch of drugs, and he called and said, oh, there's something wrong with her. You need to go up. And I go up there, she's blue in the face, and, you know, so I threw her in the car, me and a buddy of mine, and we rushed her to the hospital, and by the time we got to the hospital, I dropped her off, and I was talking to her dad. I was like, yeah, she's going to be fine. Well, she ended up dying the next day. So it's, you know, it's something that, you know, it wasn't my fault, but it was either, call an ambulance and wait for it, or bring her to the hospital and get her down there as quick as I could. But she ate so many different kinds of pills, her liver just gave out, you know. So it's, you know,
exactly.
You know what you're doing. You don't know what you're taking, you know. And especially with most of the chemical drugs that are out these days, you just don't know what people are putting in them, you know.
Right.
And it's a crapshoot, you know. I was fortunate enough not to, you know, pass on or, you know.
Right.
But some people aren't as lucky. So, you know, it's definitely something to think about.
Right. And the wrong pill with that, you know, alcohol, I mean, it's destroying so many people, young and old. But the young kids think it's cool, and they go to, you know, just like the raves. I can't even understand still how the raves can be legal, because there are so many drugs being taken there. And the candy that they wear and the, you know, the things that they do, you know, it's a drugs-infested dance is what it is. And you know, and they're high on all these drugs, and that's why the candy, which, if people don't know, is what they call all the colored jewelry that they wear. And the bandanas, you know, that, you know, they put Vicks on and put over their face because that enhances the effects of some of the drugs. And,
yeah, some of the stuff, you know, that they're doing, is absolutely ridiculous.
It's just unbelievable.
They're retarded.
And raves are legal, but that's what it is. It's a drug fest. You know, come on, let's be real. You know, it's a place for people to go and get high and party and have a good time, and they get off on the lights and the effects and the, you know, it's just unbelievable. But, you know, these kids are out here doing it, and, you know, they're taking drugs that they have no clue what they are, and drinking, and
yeah.
You know, we just have to educate them and make them more aware of what they're doing, and hopefully kids are getting smarter. they're getting smarter.
You know, well, I believe they are. I've got two nieces, one's in high school and the other one's in junior high. You know, and, you know, kind of had the talk with them, you know, not, you know, I didn't want to tell them what to do and what not to do. I told them more like, hey, I'm your uncle. I'm here for you. If you ever need to call me, I will always come get you, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I talked to them briefly about it, and they're like, no, that's I'm not going to be doing that stuff. So, you know, I do think there is hope, you know.
And we have to believe that there's hope, and we have to, you know, we have to give the kids the benefit of the doubt. And.
And you can only guide them so much, you know. But
right,
that's the thing,
right.
You know. But it's tough love if you're, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've had friends take me in and get me healthy, and then I screw up and been kicked out, or, you know, or lost my place of living, or, you know, just lost my total respect from all my friends from, you know, doing the stuff that I was doing, you know. But when your mind's clouded like that, it's really hard to make good judgments. So the best thing you can do is just steer clear, you know. But it's harder to,
and people,
you know,
don't want to tolerate it. They don't want you in their house when you're screwing up.
Strung out or wrecked.
You know, destroying things. And yeah, exactly. You know, and that, you know, has to be tough love sometimes, you know.
Well, I don't think
your kids out of the house because that's the best thing for them. Because they're not going to learn if you keep giving them everything and doing everything for them. And, you know, they're going to learn when they're out on the streets, homeless, sleeping in the gutter with no, you know, no food, no shelter, no clothes. And then they're going to wake up and say, what the hell am I doing?
Hopefully.
Right? Hopefully. Hopefully.
Hopefully. But there's a few of us that, you know, take a little longer, like me, you know, it took me a long time.
Right.
But I finally got it, you know. So, you know, you just got to keep praying. That that people will get better, and the people that are sick, you know, you help them as much as possible, but you don't enable them, you know.
Right, that's the thing. Right, don't enable them.
If you're enabling them, then you're just prolonging their drug use, you know. You're just extending
right.
their, you know.
And that goes the same with alcoholism. You know,
yeah.
People enable them so much that nothing changes. Same thing.
Yeah. That's really hard with the legal drugs, because it's such a, you know, our society's built off of beer and drinking and hanging out and going to football games and, you know, got to have a beer and all the beer commercials and all the other stuff, you know.
Right.
If you can drink in moderation, you know, I don't see any problem with that if you're of age, you know. But just if you're pounding, you know, a fifth of Jack every night, then you might want to consider getting some help, you know. It's just,
right.
You know, but it's that fine line. You got to walk that fine line. I mean, if it starts interfering with your life, you know, with any addiction, food, drugs, alcohol,
right.
You know,
right.
That's the biggest thing, is opening your eyes to being aware of it and, you know, changing it before it controls you, you know, because it will eventually
right.
control your life. You know?
Yeah, whatever you do the most will consume you.
Yeah.
Yep, that's for sure. So, tell us a little bit about. Do you have an album that's coming out or just came out?
I do. I have. My last album's called No Seatbelt Required.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of in my drug days, so I might name this one Seatbelt Required. I don't know what I'm going to name, you know?
Well, I mean,
you
no seatbelt required doesn't sound like a bad thing. It just depends
no,
on what you say in your songs, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just like, those were my crazy days, like, you know, just do whatever you want. This one's either going to be called Live or, you know, something positive where it's, you know, I don't know. I've got 4 or 5 new songs that I haven't put out on my website. Seth Taylor Band 2 at Reverb Nation.
Wow.
But it's, you know, the songs that are coming out are positive songs, a few of them about God, a few of them about just letting go and releasing all of my crap, you know.
Right.
But music's definitely there, and it's coming out of me, like, left and right. And that's
right.
what I thoroughly enjoy doing. It's something on a positive note. I'd really like to get into doing more of helping out people in any way. It could be cancer foundations, could be speaking about my drug use, could be, you know, helping teens, you know, talking to kids, doing whatever. But
right.
I know I was put on this planet to help people. That's what I thoroughly believe, you know. So
right.
that's what my music is about now. It's focusing on getting your life back together, getting positive and putting out a positive energy instead of the negative. My life sucks, you know, everything is bad, and, you know,
right.
just doesn't change anything, you know, and people pick up
right.
on that stuff, so, but the music's there. I've got a full band that is very supportive of me now that I play with. The Rhythm Junkies, got to give them a shout out. You know, they're all people that were involved in drugs back in the day, and they're clean sober now, so it's a pleasure to play with people like that.
Right.
And my new band
definitely.
Just amazing. I mean, I didn't have these kind of people playing with me when I was strung out, you know. So it's, you know, it's just like I said, life turns when you change your life. I mean, I got two awesome brothers and my sisters and everybody supporting me now. And I've actually got a bracelet that my brother gave me that says, "Life don't change until you change your life." And I honestly believe that. You know,
right.
And I wear it every day. And anytime I ever had an urge, I looked down at the bracelet and said, "No, that's right." So.
Right. And you're still you're in Denver.
Yeah, I'm still in Denver.
In Denver.
Hey, so, can you speak on a little bit how you met up with Mr. Phil?
Hi, what?
Met up with Phil, my boy Phil.
Oh, yeah, I met Phil at a rave, and me and him were selling, I don't know, hundreds of pills of ecstasy, and everything else we could get our hands on. And I don't know, he kind of just kind of took me under his wing. I was cooking dope, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and he was, you know, he was doing his cocaine, and, you know, we were really good business partners, because I never screwed him, he never screwed me, and, you know, he kind of just, like, watched out for me, you know, and at that time, I didn't know he was mafia. I actually thought he was DEA or something, but there's so much stuff that guy did to me that just threw me in so many different loops and head loops and mind games and all sorts of shit, excuse my French, but was basically that, you know, eventually I got sick of it, and but he kept me out of prison, you know. When I started cooking dope, he called my dad, and I want to put your son on a bus or a plane and get him out of the state because he's about to go to prison for, the, you know, for 10, 15 years. And then I didn't see Phil for a long time when I moved out to Nebraska. Stayed out with my father for a while. And then I moved back, and he popped back in my life, and I was selling drugs again. And then all of a sudden, you know, he was the first one to really take me to church, you know. I was having nervous breakdowns, like, left and right. I mean, he was the one that kind of brought me to God first, you know. And I started going to church with him a lot, and then he moved away, and I kind of fell back into the loop. And then now, you know, because of Facebook, he contacted me, and that's how I got a hold of you guys. So he's doing good, cool. And I'm doing good. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Got a book out, I guess.
Yeah, he's still working on it. But
yeah,
you know, and it's just funny how, you know, God touched him and changed his life too, but everybody's still striving, you know. It hasn't been a long time, and everybody still striving to stay on that road to the, you know, the positive things and the right things, and you know, one day at a time, I guess.
Phil and I were probably two of the craziest people you would have ever met 10 years ago.
I bet.
Is your CD for sale on your website? Give people your website address they can go to?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right now, all the music that I put on there, you can listen to. It's just The Seth Taylor Band 2. If you Google it, The Seth Taylor Band, or I'm sorry, Seth Taylor Band 2. If you just Google that, it brings you right to Reverb Nation. It's probably the easiest way to do it. And you can listen to all the songs. Basically, and you can, you know, you can Google or Facebook me at Seth Taylor and become a friend. If you like it, you know, we can figure out. I haven't really figured out how to produce it yet, but that's on the up and up. So still working on, you know, getting everything into perspective. But it's definitely in the works, so. But you can definitely listen to it online.
Right.
My man, so you have any last shout-outs you'd like to give anybody to?
Yeah, just to my drummer, Danny, that's listening, because I know he's listening, and to Curtis, my guitar player, and to my family, definitely, and to God. and just to all the people that tuned in tonight just to listen, and all the kids
my
that
man.
Want to change their life. You know, you're more than welcome to contact me any way you can and talk to me, and I'll, you know, try to help you out as much as possible.
My man.
Did you join our website, Seth?
I don't have a computer.
Okay.
So I have to do everything from my little smartphone. But eventually, when I get the money, I will do that. Or if I can get to a computer, I will do that. But
Okay, definitely join our website, and you can put your profile page up and your information and stuff.
That'd be great.
Network with us. Yeah, we have a big network of people, and definitely, you know, continue on with your band and continue to greatness, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
God does
you guys
have
let me be on your show.
In store for you, and, you know, you just got to believe it and have faith and you know, look up, look forward, and no turning back, you know, just You know, yep. You're very talented, very talented. If you can play more than one instrument, I'll say you're very talented.
Thank
so,
you.
Well, you, I know, did, you definitely, you know, use those talents to the best way that you can. And
yeah.
And
well, I did all the instruments on my and all the harmonies, everything on my album on this one. It was without my band, but if somebody wants to listen to a good song and needs something uplifting, listen to Fly. It's a really positive song about God and. Yeah. You know, putting opportunities in front of you and, you know, not turning away from them, so.
Right, definitely.
Oh, man. But,
well,
you know,
we appreciate you coming on and telling your story, and we look forward to hearing, you know, great things from your band.
Absolutely.
Right, right. And I want to just say we'd like to give a big shout-out to my homeboy, Mr. George Monolau family. His fundraiser went very well. You know, I heard from his family members, and the fundraiser went very well in New Jersey. So just like to give a big shout out to my homeboy. You know, he's been locked down 28 years, and, you know, we're still working on getting him up out of there, you know. So we just like to send much love out to his whole family, you know.
Definitely. Trying to get these people out of prison that are in prison for, you know, non-violent drug offenses that don't need to be in there for life. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I got to thank Phil, too, because Phil, you know, as much as he messed with me, he helped me out. So the only time I ever
know,
did
yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't call in tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's all good.
Well,
you know
that's
I mean?
Good. You know, he means well, and he's, you know, he's doing a good thing right now with what he's doing and getting together with Phil and getting the youth ministry together. So, you know, we just pray that that continues to go well for him as well and that he's able to, you know, we all go through things in life. And if we can just use, you know, once we've learned our lessons, you know, use those to help others and to share our testimonies in their lives, you know, and
yep,
share the
God
things
wanted,
that
God
we learned. And God willing, and hopefully, you know, that somebody will listen to us and they won't have to suffer and go through the things that some of us did.
Yeah, that's the name of the game right there.
Right.
And we'd just like to thank everybody for listening in tonight, all our listeners tonight. And once again, like I said, we'll be kicking off the Streets to Love You Back tour. We'll be kicking that off in Ohio this coming Monday. We'll be speaking at Pleasant Ridge Academy. And then we'll be back in AZ speaking at the Maricopa High Schools and beyond. So we're definitely going to kick this 2012.
We have another...
I look forward to, you know,
we have another
to God as well.
Caller on the line too. Before we get off the air, caller with the last four digits 5271. You're on the air.
Hey, y'all. It's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Welcome back,
hey,
stranger.
Hi, babies. Sorry, I was going.
Good.
I was on hiatus.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You like to ask Mr. Sepp before we get off the line tonight, or how everything been going?
You need to take your butt to bed with your slur. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, for real,
I
she
know,
told
I
me.
Yeah,
I know, I had to
my
ask
wife,
her. I had to ask her what is wrong with him. She told me you're just
too
full of people. Hi, bro.
Yeah.
What's going on with you besides that?
Oh, I'm just finna kick this tour off. You know, we'll be in Ohio Monday, and we'll be kicking off the Streets and Love You Back tour, you know, at the Pleasant Hill Academy with the kids, and we'll be back home and kicking it off in Maricopa High Schools and in my hometown, Michigan. So, yeah, we got a lot on the flow, and we'll be merging with the Gangsters for God too as well. So, you know, it's a lot going on. And once again, big shout-out to my boy Brian Phil, and keep up the good work that they're doing down in the TX.
and beyond. So, you know, we're just making it happen out here now, you know what I mean?
Yep. You already know, because I wear my mission statement. I wear it on that shirt loud as hell when
I get paid. You know we appreciate it.
I wear it. And then I'll be wearing the other shirt, and they'll be like, what's that? Don't worry about it. Just read it. Just read it. So,
if you don't know how to read, I'll read it to you.
Okay, look. It's in a heartbeat. Lucinda, I got a love my for real. This girl be on my butt, like, lease. And I know what you're doing, but, oh, my God, everything that you're always doing is so perfect. It's so perfect.
Everything that I'm always doing is so perfect?
Yeah, y'all, everything that you're doing is perfect.
Well, I'm glad it looks like that on the outside. It's a lot of work.
Don't make me hurt the child. See, you just want me to make a trip. That's all it is. You want me to make a trip. I'd be threatening everybody. Don't make me make a trip. But,
I'm
going
to have to make a trip out there to the ATL and set you straight one of these days.
come on. Come on. We got it going on down here. Look, two months.
I'm telling you, you know, for everybody that's listening out there, we got a good thing going on with this other business we're doing. So if you want to make some money, give me a call on the side.
Yes, they do. Yes, you
and,
do. I say yes, they do. Like, no, yes, you
this
all do.
This company is just launched in the U.S. It's growing. It's ground floor. You know, get on board, because the ones that do, believe me, they're going to be making some good money here next year.
Oh, no, they gonna make good money now.
Hey, this company just gave away 26 Benz and Beamers last week. Come on,
oh,
what company does that?
And, Lucinda says, can I tell you something?
What?
Respell it. You put Beamers as B-I-M-M-E-R-S. I'm like,
yeah, that's
Beamers.
How they have it on their website.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Do you have any questions
for Seth before we get off?
Yeah, I was just like, where do that?
She's right here listening to you.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, girl?
So, you tell me something that strongly reminds you of your grandmother. That's all I want to know.
Strongly reminds me of
what?
Your grandmother.
My grandmother?
Yeah, your grandmother, because guess what? Nobody else will ever ask you that.
My mother reminds me of my grandmother. She looks just like her.
Your grandmother.
Yeah. What strongly reminds me of my grandmother would probably be, I don't know. My grandmother lives in New York, and I live in Colorado. We talk maybe once in a while. So it's... you know, she's just a sweet old lady that doesn't hurt nobody, and, you know, 85 years old, living in upstate New York, that basically, you know, shovels her own driveway still. So I can really tell you what reminds me of her, but, you know, I guess you could say my mother and love, I guess, would be the only thing I could come up with.
Okay, so now tell me what is the best thing you remember about your mother? Reminds you of your. Let me say it like this. I shouldn't say remember. What reminds you? My bad.
But what reminds me of my mother?
Yeah.
I would just say ultimate love. Mother never turned on me. Even though
she
always
was
there. Always prayed for me. Always there for me. Always prayed for me. Always. You know, as many times as I slipped and fell, she always was there, you know, and tried to help me as much as possible. And, you know, that's the only thing I could honestly say about my mother. She's the strongest woman I've ever met. And she's just a fantastic lady. She's a holistic health teacher. She's worked with handicapped people. She's been a teacher. She's just absolutely
the one of the most amazing people on this planet, and she's just, she keeps going, you know, and she keeps helping everybody else, and she's just very unselfish. So nothing but good things to say about my mom.
That is what I needed to hear. That is really what I needed to hear, because all these authors and writers and singers get up there and they talk about this, that, and the third, but they don't ever talk about where they came from. But if you ask them where they came from and what they did, like, you ain't giving credit to who has to get credit to.
My mother and my father, for sure. They both played in a band when I was a kid, and my dad played guitar, and my mom played piano and sang, and fortunately, I was the kid that got both of the talents. My sister and my other sister can't play anything.
You got it all.
Yeah, I got it all, but they're all smart, like book smart. I can't stand reading a book.
They
definitely get the credit for, you know, raising me right and bringing me up right and sticking by my side. I mean, they're awesome parents. I love them to death. I mean, you know, both of them made a couple mistakes, you know, little hiccups along the way when I was growing up, but, you know, I was a pretty problem child too. But exactly.
There's no book that tells us how to be perfect parents. We all mess up.
Yeah, but I don't hold nothing against them. I mean, they are absolutely amazing people, and I love my mom and my dad. I got a good special shout out to my dad because I know he's listening.
I bet he wasn't expecting that question, huh?
Pretty sure my mom
and
that's, too, but.
You know, just what we said earlier, Lisa, you know, you can be the best parents in the world and your kids still might mess up, and or you can be the worst parents in the world and your kids would be okay, you know.
Parents that do have kids using drugs, you know, be hard on them, but don't be so hard on them that, you know, that you don't want to push them away too far. You know what I mean?
You got to use tough love, but you got to let them know that you still love them.
That you still love them. Yeah, give them tough love, but still give them love, you know. That's just the one thing my mom always did, you know. There's times that she said, I can't live with you anymore. You're just too, I know you're doing drugs, you know. And it was the hardest thing, I know it was the hardest thing for her to do, you know, but she did it.
Yeah.
But she always told me that she loved me, and, you know, when I was living in my car, I'd come over and eat dinner once in a while, or, you know, or I'd knock on her door, and she'd put me up in her bed and take care of me for a day or two and get me back on my feet. And then I'd go out and do the same thing.
And, you know, that's
you know.
The hardest thing for a mother to do is to watch their child go through something like that and let them go through that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to love them and let them go through it. But that's the hardest thing for a mom to do, to watch your child suffer or to go through hard times and not want to help them, you know.
Yeah. Well, she just kept putting me in prayer circles and, you know, my family just kept praying and stuff like that. So, you know, and then my third family, as I call them, you know, Kevin Reisbeck is one of the coolest people. He took me in and let me live with his sons. And, you know, I honestly was starting to watch his kid's daughter. And that's one of the main things. I couldn't be strung out around a kid, you know. So it was a little girl actually helped me get off drugs, you know. I couldn't watch his little girl and be strung out. So it was just a combination of everything, I think, that really took hold and, you know, and got me on the right track. But definitely my parents stuck by me. So.
Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, God definitely does have a greater plan for you. And I'm glad that you finally have your eyes opened up. You're awake. You can see it now.
Yep.
And
you can see it now.
We just expect to hear great things about the Steph Taylor Band. No bad news, only good news.
Only good news, huh?
No.
Promise you that.
All right, we're going to hold you to it.
I hope some people check out the website and listen to the music, because it's all positive stuff. So.
That's right.
Oh, you got music,
too?
He got music, too.
He's a musician.
Okay, well, you know Adam from my page and watch what I do. He don't know who I am, but it's okay.
No. It's okay. He doesn't have a computer right now, so he just uses his smartphone. But Lisa promotes thousands of writers and mostly
authors.
Writers, I would say. Authors and writers.
2,200 authors, 10 rappers, And anybody that wants to get their name out there, I got it.
Well, you're more welcome to take all my stuff and put it out there. Just don't steal it.
No, copyright it. Copyright it. Get on my show and understand about copyright.
It's already copyrighted. But it's just poor man's copyright. But I'm not worried about it. I've got 50 more million songs in the back of my head.
He said 54 million songs.
I can make up a song in less than 5 minutes. I mean, every time I play a show, I make up a different song. So it's, you know, they just come out of me. So
If I would have known you before this, I would have got you to do the BET commercial for the publishing company. But
now
you know for next time.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can always get my number. You can get my number from Rob, and, you know, if you got something coming along, I'm more than willing to do whatever I got to do to get my name out there, so.
Yeah.
And the message, so.
But, baby, listen, let me ask you one more time. What do you want to do? Now, let me ask you this. What do you want to do for yourself? And for yourself.
For myself? Oh, for myself, I just want to become stable again and live a happy life. You know, live a positive, happy life. Maybe have a kid someday. And I really like to get my music out there. That's my number one goal is probably to get my music out there. Is, you know, I've been doing it for 15 years, and I'm getting older, and it's getting harder. So it's just, you know, I would like just for my music to get out there. It's one of the main things that I've been plugging away for so many years, and I'm finally getting to that point where it's just like I'm almost ready to get a real job, but nah, I probably won't do that.
We don't like the real jobs. No,
no,
we do our jobs on Facebook.
I mean, I have a real job, you know, part-time real job. Yeah, you have to, you know, in order to live. But, you know, my thing is traveling, gigging, you know, getting out there, getting the name out there, and you know, evolving. And then, you know,
right. Just
living with God. That's pretty much it.
That's right.
So.
Okay. Well, we thank you, Lisa, for calling in. And
good night, y'all. You know it's my bedtime.
Thank you. And
nice to talk to you, Lisa. Nice
hear
questions.
From you again soon.
You too, sweetie. And they will send me your link, and I'll start promoting you so you can get out there.
I appreciate that, sweetie. That would be awesome.
All right. I'll definitely do that. Thank you, Lisa. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All righty.
She's cool.
Yeah, she's our little character here from ATL. Grew up where she grew up, Rob?
Newark.
Newark.
Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, Jersey.
Yeah. She came from the streets of Newark. So she's been around the block. And now she's doing good things with her life as well. So
cool.
Yeah. So we have a big network of people that we you know, network with and help and definitely stay in the loop.
Yeah, well, any way I can extend my arm to you guys, just let me know.
Oh, we will. We'll have to keep you in mind for something in the future. Maybe part of our Streets Don't Love You Back tour. We'll do something where the band can play or something.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
We'll have to come to Denver with everybody and do something up there. I don't know.
The opportunities are endless, and
that's right.
If God put you in front of me, and we're supposed to do it, He will.
That's right.
So.
All right, well, we are going to go ahead and close out the show tonight. We'd just like to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
No problem.
You know,
thanks for having me.
We will keep you in our prayers, and you know, we hold you up there, so we expect nothing but the best. So,
all the best.
You know, the more people you have watching you and expecting from you, you got to do the right thing.
Well, absolutely.
lead by example. So.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
Rob,
I'm looking forward to doing it sometime again.
Do you have any shout-outs, Seth, to anybody else? I know you said your dad and mom. And
just my family and all the kids that are trying to get off drugs and my band, my mom, my dad especially, and, you know, all the people that are going to listen to my music. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Boyd?
I'm good. My mouth is hurt.
You're good. Okay. Well, we just want to remind you. You're welcome, Seth. Keep in touch with us.
I will.
Thank you. We just want to remind everybody to log into our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com and get the book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and also our second book that we just put out, Never Hit a Woman. And join the movement and get involved with us and get involved with all the people that we're networking with. And I believe next week we have guest Mr. Sydney Daniel out of Detroit. And he just got out of prison after, I think, about 18 years. And so he's going to tell his story about what he was involved with as a young teenager and how he ended up behind bars all those years and how he lived to get out. We just want you all to have a great week and join us back here next Wednesday night, same time, same place. And we're going to go out with a song here, a commercial. And remember, the streets don't love you back. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday night.
Take care.
And bye-bye.
Bye.
An awesome product with an untapped market. A debt-free global company with operations all over the world. A compensation plan that is unmatched in the industry. Add it all up, and you have the hottest opportunity on the planet today. An opportunity that is about to launch into massive global momentum. Never before has such market timing happened in this industry. Look, the internet is here. Billionaires have already been created. But it's not too late. Why? Because the future is not email and texting. It's about video. And My Video Talk is the company that is going to bring video to the masses. And you can be part of it. Our product is state-of-the-art, easy to use, and priced to sell. Instead of spending millions on TV and advertising, we decided to pay people like you. The product is awesome. The market is huge. The timing is now. Look, this is a global business. It is already proven. People around the globe are making millions. But the company just launched in the U.S., and the U.S. is the biggest market for these products. Are you kidding me? I mean, if you went to a street corner and asked 1,000 people if they know about My Video Talk, chances are maybe only one person would have even heard about it. That means you are in the perfect place right now to capitalize, to be first to market and first to profit. A business that you own with no employees, no inventory, and no headaches. Look, the demand is huge, the company is solid, and the money is absolutely awesome. Don't wait. Get started today.